Sutton and Sheila Sheely, who have typed seemingly endless versions of speeches and the many generations of manuscripts that culminated in this book. Barney Karpfinger, my agent and friend, whose wise guidance through the process of identifying and engaging a publisher have been indispensable, as has been his advice on myriad day-to-day issues around engaging the publishing world. Robin White, my co-author, whose research into the depths of Interfaces initiatives and those of other companies as well required patience I never would have summoned. George Whitt of St. Martin's Press, who saw and appreciated the uniqueness of the Interface story, put his company's money on the line, and personally performed the editing of the manuscript. These people, along with the people of Interface to whom this book is dedicated, are the reason this book exists. Without them, I could never have come close. Thank you all. Finally, I want to acknowledge the primary source of my motivation for pursuing sustainability for Interface. My daughters, Marianne Anderson Lanier and Harriet Adelaide Anderson Langford, and their children, my grandchildren, James Augustus Lanier III, J., John Anderson Lanier, Patrick William Lanier, Harriet Melissa Langford Heflin, and Cameron McCall Langford. Assuring a healthy future for them and their progeny is what this book is about. Prologue. This is a book about the future of business and industry, a future driven by a new and powerful idea, sustainability. Specifically, it deals with what it takes to run a profitable, modern business with the environment in mind, doing no harm to the earth and taking from the earth nothing that cannot be renewed naturally and rapidly by the earth. It is about a new business model that can generate not just bigger profits, but better, more legitimate ones too. But as I sit here today, October 10, 2008, writing while I vacation in the ancient town of Bruges, Belgium, a global financial meltdown seems to be underway, putting into question whether the economic system can survive. Here's a snapshot at this moment in time. While it's 7:05 p.m. in Belgium, it is 1:05 p.m. in Atlanta, where I live. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 345 points, following 7 consecutive days of decline. It appears to be moving toward 8,000 or lower. The Federal Trade Commission has just approved Wells Fargo's acquisition of Wachovia for $11.7 billion. Venerable Merrill Lynch is in the process of disappearing into Bank of America, a route Countrywide Financial has already taken. Lehman Brothers, a longtime pillar of stability in the investment banking world, has failed. Only its brokerage and mutual fund businesses survive under the banners of Barclays of the United Kingdom and Neuberger Investment Management, respectively. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have gone into federal government conservatorship. Washington Mutual, the largest savings bank in the United States, is being gobbled up by J.P. Morgan Chase, out of receivership of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC. Bear Stearns, the first really big shoe to fall, is already being absorbed by J.P. Morgan Chase in a deal brokered by the U.S. Treasury Department over a weekend. Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, for so long dominant forces in the investment banking world, have opted to change their very nature and become regulated commercial banks. They were the last of the mega investment banks once Bear Stearns, Merrill Lynch, and Lehman Brothers were gone. Mitsubishi UFJ, a Japanese bank, is taking a $9 billion equity position in Morgan Stanley to shore up Morgan Stanley's capital structure and prepare it for the role of acquirer in the turmoil ahead, portending more consolidation to come. American International Group, AIG, said to be too big to be allowed to fail, is being propped up by the Federal Reserve to the tune of more than $100 billion. And the United States Treasury Department is trying to determine just how to invest $700 billion of taxpayer money to jumpstart the clogged-up, Secretary of Treasury Henry Paulson's term, American credit markets. Clogged up means banks have stopped making loans, even among themselves, and credit is drying up, even for borrowers with impeccable credit standing. Meanwhile, European central banks are undertaking their own form of rescue with capital infusions of more than $1 trillion. A year ago,